With Montana News, I'm Olga Kramer. Republican Representative Greg Gianforte has raised $252,000 since July for next year's election for Montana's sole U.S. House seat, while two Democratic challengers took in about twice as much combined over the same period, according to campaign filings. Among Democrats, Billings attorney John Heenan raised $325,000, including a $100,000 loan of his own money. Grant Keir, a former land trust director, raised $192,000 in just 3 weeks after announcing his candidacy in September. A third Democrat, State Representative Tom Woods of Bozeman, announced last week and did not file a quarterly report. Democrats have not held Montana's at-large House seat since former Representative Pat Williams left office in 1997. Gianforte took office following a May 25th special election to replace Representative Ryan Zinke, who stepped down to become Interior Secretary. More than $17 million poured into that race, including at least $1 million of Gianforte's own money. Federal regulators are allowing two companies offering health insurance through the individual market in Montana to file rate increases after President Donald Trump's decision last week to end federal subsidies for low to middle income workers, the state's insurance commissioner said today. That's a reversal from Friday when the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services notified the State Department of Insurance it would not allow companies to raise rates in 2018. Political salvos are flying between Governor Steve Bullock and Republicans amid a waiting game and hints of a special legislative session to potentially solve the budget crisis. Corin Cates Carney reports.
As Montanans wait to learn how and if the governor will follow through on his proposed 10% cuts to state agencies, Democrat and Republican leaders are digging into their tug of war over state spending. Republicans are urging Bullock to cut government spending before considering any other solutions that would require lawmakers return to Helena. Some are calling his proposed cuts a scare tactic to spur a special session, but so far Republican leaders have not offered specific alternative cuts. The governor has yet to call for a special session, but his office has suggested tax increases could help balance the state's projected $227 million budget shortfall. Tax increases would require a special session. On Monday, a Bullock press release showed the governor with his arms around a family who relies on government programs at risk of being cut for people with developmental disabilities. Republican Secretary of State Corey Stapleton joined the debate over the weekend, pushing for the governor to cut state spending. Stapleton suggested the state borrow money if cuts aren't enough. So far, a compromise between the parties on how to resolve the budget shortfall outside of Governor Bullock's proposed cuts has yet to emerge. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio.
Wildlife officials say one or more poachers illegally shot 8 mule deer in eastern Montana with a type of ammunition used for small game that likely caused the animals to suffer considerably. Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Warden Todd Tryon said in a statement today that one of the animals, a fawn, was found injured but still alive and had to be put down. The animals were found by a local resident yesterday morning in northern McCone County, where the dead deer were scattered along a two-mile stretch of Road 528. Officials are asking for the public's help in identifying those responsible and offering a $1,000 reward for information leading to a conviction. Scientists and wildlife advocates meet tomorrow to discuss whether grizzly bears in northwest Montana are ready to lose Endangered Species Act protections. Wildlife officials say they are, and want grizzlies in the Northern Continental Divide ecosystem delisted by 2020. But Michael Jarnovic says that's way too soon.
We are greatly concerned that if grizzly bears are removed from the threatened species status, that the state of Montana will in fact return to a hunting season on grizzly bears, which they had up until, I believe, 1992.
Jarnovic is spokesman for tomorrow's Crossroads or Crosshairs Grizzly Bear Recovery Conference. It's sponsored by a coalition of conservation and wildlife advocacy organizations called the Flathead Lolo Bitterroot Citizen Task Force. But Jarnovic says a variety of perspectives will be represented. For example, Chris Servine, a retired U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service grizzly bear recovery coordinator who supports delisting, will be a panelist. So will delisting opponent Mike Bader. A group that tracks water quality in northwest Montana is holding meetings this week about potential contamination in Lake Coconusa and nearby rivers. Nikki Ouellette reports.
The Kootenai River Network, an international nonprofit that keeps tabs on the health of the Kootenai River watershed, has been watching the rise of heavy metals in the watershed for years. North of the border in British Columbia, coal mining is releasing selenium, a naturally occurring element that can become harmful in high doses. Officials are still determining selenium limits for water quality standards. Jim Dunnigan is president of the Kootenai River Network.
It was clear to us that the public doesn't really have a clear picture of kind of the facts in terms of what the risks are, what's being done, and how they can develop reliable sources of information to kind of track the issue. And we hope to provide that information at the meetings over the next couple days.
The Kootenai River Network has organized two panel discussions this week with representatives from Montana, British Columbia, federal and tribal environmental quality agencies. The first meeting is in Eureka tonight from 7 to 9 at the Eureka High School Auditorium, with another in Kalispell on Tuesday at the same time at Kalispell's Hilton Garden Inn. More information is on our website, mtpr.org. I'm Nikki Ouellette, Montana Public Radio.
The Wyoming Department of Transportation is pushing to get more Yellowstone residents and workers to follow state law and purchase Wyoming registrations and driver's licenses. State and federal officials say they don't know how many of the employees working at the park need to get Wyoming plates, but with an average vehicle registration costing a couple hundred dollars, the state could be losing out on hundreds of thousands of dollars in fees each year. I'm Olga Kramer, Montana Public Radio.